Orpheus and Eurydice, a love story. Son of Oneiros and Calliope he was, grandson of Zeus the father, and he was mine almost completely, as I was his more than completely. He sang of his love for me with such passion, such incredible passion, that nature would still itself and give breathless notice, not allowing even the wind to interfere with his song, so that the trees themselves would need to bend of their own accord to give an attentive ear. He sang of his love for me with such passion, such incredible passion, that the gods of Olympus would give pause from their petty rivalries and seductions of mortals to be seduced themselves by my lover's song. He sang of his love for me with such passion, such incredible, empty passion, that it would make me sick to hear. I fear the annals of history will show me as nothing more than a name. But since we are in hell here together, and none has ever returned alive from this depth, I will tell you truthfully that even though in life I was woman, I had a song of my own. But compared to the brightness of my dearest one, what was my cheap inspiration? A drop in an ocean, a one among many. Still it was mine, but overshadowed by one I had bound my life to. And just as his song had easily managed to make mine as notes unuttered, so too did his love for art make his love for me, and moreover my love for him, into nothing more than a title for one of his compositions. Lovely though they were, and loved for they were about me, they seemed more against me, or perhaps more through me, but never about myself. Never about myself. So you see, when my life ended abrupt, I at first wept openly, tears falling silently among the red rock of this place. All of my comfort and familiar was gone, gone with him, gone with his song. But my lyre had fallen with me. So I began to sing my lament and demanded the deaf stone open itself to me. The damned listened despite their suffering, and my song finally found purchase in the darkness of this place where his melodies could not reach. Better to have the ear of one disembodied soul than all the inattentive living things of the world. So content I was to dream that Lord Hades himself might possibly hear my despair and give pause. Content to dream I was. But the crass fool would not leave well enough alone. At first I was happy. Happy for him. Happy that he felt so in love with me, remembered me for a moment that instead of his song he had given my soul chase, taken the time to descend and win my hand again by robbing Lord Hades of a single tear. I was to return with him, return to the world above, and I was happy. But I had the realization, one step from life, that things would no doubt return to as they had been, that the song of this man would coax the affection of men, women, children, animals, winds, and gods, and then what of the song of poor Eurydice? Be dumb, child, we have come for the song of Orpheus. But it was too late. My hesitation upon the stair had made him untrusting turn. Then the damage was done, for with the loss of Lord Hades' tear, we were torn from each other forever, as I was torn from the ear of the monarch for eternity. My lover's song had invaded even my private corner of hell, and the damned were even more the damned for being denied the words of Orpheus. Now and again, I would catch a drift of the dirge, his lament for my loss, and could feel nature bending itself to his sorrow. So I must ask, was it all for me, love, or was it all for your song? Did you go through the suffering only to rape more inspiration from your harlot muse? How many epics did you wring from my untimely demise? But this is hell, after all. And they will not take my lyre from me. I have tried to lose it many a time, only to find it there in my hand once again. I am a woman with a song to sing, and not even the damned will listen. For it seems no one will pay heed to the notes and words of woman, no, neither in heaven, nor in hell, nor anywhere in between. When I heard they had finally rent you into pieces, I felt no loss at all, but neither did I feel freedom. This world has already been tainted with your art, leaving no room for mine. So despite my love for you, nay, because of my love for you, I wished a handful of your flesh for my own. I am sure that when your crown drifted downstream and was swept into the sea, you were still singing, "Damn you."